What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful Select Backstage Report Podcast for December 8th, 2024. Man, we got a whole lot to get into. We broke a story right towards the end of last week's Backstage Report, and we're going to double down on it. We're going to add some more to it. All kinds of stuff. We had news on Trinity, Mercedes, Deonna, New Japan free agents, Julia, TNA, just all kinds of news all over the place. We followed up and said that The Rock was expected at WWE Raw. That ended up happening. Let's get into a few of the stories that we reported that ended up coming to fruition. As mentioned, Fightful reported that WWE was looking to bring in a former WWE champion for day one. Now, that was the phrasing used internally that I would say we sort of intercepted. And the Monday of WWE Raw, it became very clear, and Fightful said that The Rock was expected there. The word expected, boy, has that been used a lot in wrestling reporting over the last week. But that's because plans change, things adjust. But The Rock did show up. Another person who showed up was Deonna Purrazzo. Fightful reported on Wednesday that Deonna Purrazzo had been in talks with AEW. It looked like the likely landing point, and that was her preferred landing point. Well, she did. They finished her video and her music the day or two before Dynamite. Steve Macklin was there. Kimmy Sokol had posted a picture of that as well. Tasha Steelz was backstage to support her. I've been told that not only was that her preferred landing spot for a company, but she also wanted to debut in New Jersey. And very rarely that you can sort of hit the jackpot, come up all sevens. I think that's an accurate slot machine comparison. But she won in that one. She had a great debut. She signed with a major company, and she had the crowd chanting her name. So we were very happy to have her last interview ahead of her free agency period. And there was some interest from WWE. I don't know to what degree, but I was told that a lot of their free agent talks would be tabled until after the new year. It became abundantly clear she did not want to wait that long. She signed with AEW, and that's kind of where she wanted to head anyway. So that VXT reunion is going to have to wait a few years by the looks of it. Corey Brennan reported that Carlito would be the LWO's teammate at NXT. And speaking of some of Corey's reporting, there were some people asking about Ilya and his situation. Now, the angle that they did with Ridge Holland, that was a work. Like, that wasn't a thing that happened in the moment. And as Fightful reported, he's fine. You'll notice he wasn't featured on screen on last week's NXT, despite being promoted for that match. He's not wrestled since December 13th, and that has a lot of people, you know, going, oh, well, what happened? Well, for any variety of things, let's take a look back. He did not wrestle from the end of October 2022 until the beginning of February 2023. He didn't wrestle between November 19th, 2021 and March 2nd, 2022. He did not wrestle from October 30th, 2020 until January 21st, 2021. He did not wrestle from December 17th, 2018 until January 19th, 2019. December 24th of 2017 up until March 10th, 2018. December 11th, 2016 until February 3rd, 2017. December 13th, 2015 until January 16th, 2016. And these gaps continue to go on and on and on backwards. Now, I don't know if injuries played a role in some of those, any of those, but there is a not a pretty established track record. There is a shockingly long track record of Ilya being out of the ring during this period of the year, dating back a decade. And with the way that he wrestles, guy deserves it. So we had reported Thursday that the Triple H announcement of Money in the Bank at Toronto was the announcement he was teasing that evening. A lot of people weren't too happy about it, but that was the case. The Royal Rumble announcements that were on that Thursday preview show were not a pivot. They actually filmed those on Monday at Raw. Fightful also reported that Tyler Bate, AOP, and Paul Ellering would be debuting on SmackDown, which fortunately came to fruition. And another one that is going to come to fruition is our wonderful reporting on the Mercedes Moné situation. So the Friday before last week's backstage report, it was December 29th, we got word that WWE were no longer negotiating with Mercedes Moné. I'll highlight this timeline one more time. In August of last year, Mercedes was in talks with AEW and there was a working plan. I asked about that again in December, the beginning of December, and I was told, well, that's not necessarily a working plan any longer. I was told that WWE and Mercedes had re-entered discussions, and by December 29th, they had fallen apart. Now, I don't know when exactly they fell apart, but one side thought that she was asking for too much. The other side thought that they were getting low ball, and that's how it happens with negotiations. Now, there were some talks and discussions online that Mercedes had been planned or something for a Julia match in January, like right around this time of year. And I was told by New Japan sources that no, that's not been a real possibility for like 6 months. Like it's pretty clear that that wouldn't have been able to happen and be on the table because of Mercedes' recovery and all that. Now, we had reported the following Monday, January 1st, that Mercedes had been in talks with All Elite Wrestling again and was expected to join the company. Now, I'm probably going to have to explain what expected means to people who speak the English language an awful lot over the next couple of months, but she is expected to join the company. Now, I'll have a lot of people say, well, why won't you say 100%? Why won't you say this? I haven't seen a contract. I haven't had anybody from the company or Mercedes tell me that she signed a contract. That doesn't mean I can't suspect it. That doesn't mean I can't take context clues and apply it. That doesn't mean I can't follow other leads on the situation. But I can't just wave my hand and make some information happen that I don't know that exists. However, she is expected to join All Elite Wrestling. From a personal opinion perspective, me, right now, January 8th, I would be shocked if she did not join All Elite Wrestling. And based on the information that I have, that's what's happening. I do not expect to see her in the Royal Rumble. I don't know if I even particularly expect to see her in AEW anytime soon, even though WWE sources said that they expected her to appear elsewhere imminently. That is another part of reading comprehension that needs to be looked at. Like when we say that WWE sources expect her to appear elsewhere imminently, that is not me, Sean Ross Sapp, expecting her elsewhere imminently. Could she appear? Could there be an announcement? Could there be some promotion? Sure. I would fully expect that. I find it very hard to believe that AEW would bring her in and not pop a rating or a buy rate or something centered around the buzz that she creates. They've got a TV rights package to sell. As far as everybody asking if it's signed, Will Ospreay and CM Punk both didn't sign their contracts until the day that they showed up. Which is why when a lot of people were saying, have they signed so-and-so, have they signed so-and-so, the answer was no, because they hadn't. There was an expectation that Will Ospreay was going to join AEW. There was no expectation that CM Punk was going to join WWE because it wasn't a reality until a week prior. With Mercedes, there is an expectation that she is All Elite. And there's a suspicion from me that I can't officially confirm that she already is. I think she's very good at disguising things, keeping people talking, creating buzz. I think she's one of the best in the world at that. I think Kenny Omega is also one of the best at that. You look back at the interview I did with him when he was injured and he set the stage for his Will Ospreay feuds while he was injured. Mercedes is very, very, very smart about creating buzz, getting people talking, making people think one thing's happening. So to clarify, there is no backtracking. Mercedes is expected to go to AEW. Trinity is now expected to go back to WWE. Fightful reported that last week. She is expected, again, a term that has been used in major NBA and soccer football reporting over the last week as well, expected to go back to WWE after she finishes up with TNA. Now, I don't know if she's finishing up with TNA this weekend or upcoming tapings. I don't know how many are left on her deal, but she's technically headed towards a free agency period, but she is expected to go back to WWE. There has been discussion about her appearing at the Royal Rumble. There have been some that have been outright told that was going to happen. I think it'd be a great one. I think it'd make for a definitely beyond ample surprise for the Royal Rumble. Julia is not expected to be a Royal Rumble surprise. Her deal with Stardom goes into March or April. We're told that she wasn't particularly happy about the rumors of the WWE interest emerging. She had obligations that were very important to her through March or April. I'm not sure the exact date. But also, she supposedly told Stardom that she was not going to sign an extension. From what I understand, she doesn't have an interest in picking up a rep. There were rumors that AEW had no interest in her in the past, but we did hear her name brought up this past spring as it pertained to possible Stardom talent that could appear in the company in some capacity. However, those that we spoke to in WWE speculated that she would go to NXT. I know that Wrestling Observer reported that she would take some time off to learn some English, but it was reiterated to us from numerous WWE sources that her English is better than a lot of people that were brought into that company, and that they have the resources available to help her. And then one even joked that her English and comprehension is better than a lot of many native speakers. Julia's going to be a big star if everything works out. Like, I don't know how she could miss in that sense. Now, there were rumors that WWE and Stardom could work together. WWE sources that we spoke to said that they hadn't heard of that as of yet, but they were looking into it, had heard of some other stories possibly bubbling under the surface regarding to Stardom, but nothing firm on what that might be, just a lot of rumors floating around. Now, there were sources in WWE that claimed there was no deal in place as of yet, and they were not aware of conversations, but said that they were in a new era and things could be done a lot differently. One source in WWE indicated the All Japan deal moving forward was a wait-and-see-how-it-goes approach, but that things were looking good. And WWE has been much more relaxed on those possibilities since Nick Khan gained power. Though it wasn't directly attributed to his arrival, the timeline certainly added up. Sources close to All Japan told us they were happy with Charlie Dempsey's performances. People in WWE that I spoke to said that Charlie Dempsey was treated well in All Japan. And Charlie Dempsey is a person that WWE has gotten main roster looks at multiple times. They had him work Dexter Lumis, Duke Hudson, Shelton Benjamin on main roster and main event shows. Regarding the rumors of interest with New Japan, we've heard that WWE has long maintained interest in at least some sort of connection with New Japan, but that the AEW-New Japan relationship is really, really strong and looks to continue. They've already got plans in order for Forbidden Door this year. That being said, new regime of WWE, new regime of New Japan, anything is possible. Rocky Romero has spoken to Nick Khan in the past. He's opened up to me about it publicly on camera and said that nothing really emerged from it. Speaking of New Japan, lots of contract news. Specifically, Bullet Club War Dogs, Clark Connors, Alex Coughlin, and now we're going to break this news on the Fightful Select Backstage Report. Gabe Kidd, all their deals are up. Or up soon. With Clark Connors, his deal was up at the end of December. He actually worked Wrestle Kingdom without a contract. Alex's is up in January. Gabriel Kidd's is up in January. And Bullet Club War Dogs are advertised for a major match in February. One of the first cage matches New Japan has done. I think it might be their first in like 20 years. They haven't done one with fans in ages and ages. But they are promoted for that 5-on-5 match with the United Empire. And I don't think there's any real concern that they'll end up working those. I know that Connors is in negotiations with New Japan. They did have Connors and Drilla Maloney lose those tag titles to Catch 2-2. But a whole lot of deals are coming up. And that's going to be the common theme for New Japan every January, it would appear. We spoke to Angels and Macklin ahead of TNA Hard to Kill. And In the Weeds spoke to Kushida. Angels actually referred to Steve Macklin as a guy who came to TNA Impact from WWE and thrived, and he wanted to do that as well. Angels told me that he was very excited. It's a good time to rebrand. The company has built itself back up over the year. He said that the first TNA show he attended was Bound for Glory 2007, back when it was TNA. His dad worked with a relative of AJ Styles. She gave them free tickets. So he grew up watching TNA. So restoring it back to that is definitely something that he's excited for. He also spoke about his match with Kenny Omega that a lot of people thought, you know, should have been a squash or whatever it may be. But he said that Omega really trusted him, and that went a long way. Steve Macklin, we were talking about just that on fire 2023 that he had. He was just going crazy in the ring. He said that he was approaching the third year of his contract. His goal is to win the TNA World Heavyweight title after winning that Impact Championship as well. He said that he would love to go back to the X Division as well. But we also spoke about the TNA rebrand with him. And they filmed the video for Hard to Kill, the promotion for the TNA rebrand. And it was pretty vague and pretty like anonymous, so to speak. Like it was pretty incognito. They didn't know it was to film for a TNA rebrand. But then when he was asked to go into a room with everybody and they were told to watch the announcement, he knew that something was up. He thought it was a TV deal announcement or they would be TNA again, one or the other. Excited for that. It's going to be a good weekend. We asked if Tyler Bates' appearance was an official call-up before the reveal that he would be on SmackDown moving forward. We were told, yes, we're going to see more of him. Also, SmackDown, highest grossing WWE event in the history of Vancouver. Fightful's Gisberto Guzzo was on the scene there. We are going to be all over the place. Joel at TNA Hard to Kill. Myself, Royal Rumble Week. Tons of people at Royal Rumble, of course. Revolution, Greensboro. I'll be at Raw next month for the Lexington show. Also, WrestleMania Week, of course. Squared Circle Expo. So we are going to be around an awful lot. If you're at those events or if you're a wrestler and want to do an interview, hit us up. It would be great to talk to a lot of you guys. LA Knight was busted open during his match on Friday. I'm told that he was said to be okay. Fightful Awards voting is now closed. I am so excited about these awards. A lot of people did really, really good. Many companies did very, very good. And it was split. Like, there was definitely no AEW or WWE bias here. Last year, we had so many talent and people accept these awards and wanted their physical awards. We would appreciate your support. Whenever you see that show, please retweet it. Please retweet the winners. Show some love on it. Don't spread negativity. Last year we had people say, oh, well, what about? And this is about celebrating people who achieve things, not about omissions or denigrating anybody or anything like that. So please show some love there. Fightful has now integrated Spotify support for our audio here on Select. A lot of you were asking about that. We got you covered. And another note, the Assassin's Creed-inspired entrance from Will Ospreay was in the works for quite some time. I'm told several months it took them to nail that deal down. A lot of video game crossover here with wrestlers and their entrances and special matches and the like, and I think it's a natural fit. I think it's definitely a natural fit. CM Punk was backstage at Raw last week, was not used. Sean Bennett was the referee in the Imperium match, who was very quick acting in taking care of Giovanni Vinci. So shout out to Sean Bennett, who did the right thing. He recognized there was an issue and took care of it. R-Truth and Miz teamed together for the first time since June 2019, Before that, they teamed together with The Shield on a 2013 live event. But other than that, they had not teamed together since that infamous match against John Cena and The Rock at Survivor Series. Becky Lynch was busted open legitimately on Monday Night Raw last week, but she was in good spirits backstage, I was told. And The Rock promo. It was produced by Adam Pearce. We want to always highlight those. Those are always interesting for people whenever a big name comes in and you see who's responsible for that. Kind of interesting to me that it was him, because that's not usually who does the Bloodline related stuff. Usually it is Michael Hayes, but Michael Hayes, as well as Abyss and Bobby Roode, all helped produce the Drew McIntyre-Seth Rollins match last week. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.